Dharmasana everyone. Good morning. Thank you all for being here. And welcome home. Why do I say that? Because all of you helped build this monastery, so it's your home or it's your monastery as much as it's mine. So instead of saying welcome to the monastery, I want to say welcome home. So I'm glad all of you made it today, this morning. And when someone sacrifices their day off to be somewhere, that shows their dedication and commitment, and that they're serious about something, about that. So I'm glad all of you made it. So firstly, you know, give yourselves a pat on the back for making it this morning. And hopefully we will have a great day, a very fruitful, very efficient day, a day of great benefit to all of us. Okay, so before we begin, as customary, let us all observe the 8 precepts and begin the program. Okay, so before we begin, let's chant the Namaskara 3 times to pay homage to the perfect one, our Lord Buddha.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
So meditation is something that's become very popular nowadays. It's become something something that's very, very important for people now, because mental health is something that's battered a lot of us. It has battered me in the past at times. I mean, not to the extent that some people are going through, but it's something all of us, either knowingly or unknowingly, have been through at some point in our life. And same with all around the world. So I remember when I used to live in the UK, it's a big issue, and I'm guessing it still is. So, and when we are very privileged to get the chance to travel the world, and when we do, wherever we go to, we hear stories of people, you know, people who are battered and bruised with mental health conditions, and so it's a big deal now, and it's a big issue rather. So everyone is seeking for solutions, and we are very lucky to be blessed with this philosophy. We have the solution in front of us, really, at our doorstep. So where lots of millions of people out there are searching for solutions, and oftentimes they don't find the actual or the right solution, but we are very lucky, thanks to this philosophy, to find the solution. So meditation has become very important, because it's basically meditation. The way I get it, understand it, is it gives us a chance to, it's like when we are ill and when we go to a doctor, when we go to doctors, they give us some medicine. Obviously there are some doctors present here with us. So when they give us some medicine, we have to take it home or go somewhere, and we have to take it. So meditation is the time where we can apply the medicine given to us by the doctors or by our teachers. So it's the reason why I'm grateful that this initiative was suggested and they accepted it, because a lot of people don't have the time to, either they don't have the medicine, either they do, and they don't have some time to apply it or think about it. A lot of people don't know. The ones who do, they don't have much time to think about it, reflect on these, or to contemplate. Because when we do personal discussions with with devotees, a very common question we get is that we don't get time to contemplate, or how do we contemplate? What do we think about? Because meditation is it's like medicine. Medicine is it is good if you have a disease, but if you take the wrong medicine, that can, you know, take you down. It can give you something way worse than what you had initially. So when it comes to meditation, we have to be very careful as to what to think about, what should we meditate about. Because if we start meditating without knowing exactly what to do, then you started off with a bit of a mental health issue or a bit of stress. Now, by the end of this, you would have probably could end up losing your mind, right? So meditation is something that we have to use very carefully, and we should know what we're doing. So what we will do is, in this session, for about an hour or so, I will explain to you what we should meditate about. But firstly, we need to understand what the problem is, why we need to meditate. Because no point taking in medicine without knowing what the disease is. I think you should at least have an idea of what the... Because otherwise, it won't mean much to us. So, obviously, cause and effect is the answer, but why do we need this answer? That's something we should know about. So, the problem that we all go through is we feel stress, don't we? We feel stress, anger, frustration, all these negative emotions. Because of and for this, there aren't many solutions out there. Oh, I've done my research and I couldn't really find a proper solution for it. Because out there, they talk about anger management, stress management. Imagine you have a disease, and would you like to manage it, or would you want to cure it? You don't want to manage a disease, right? Imagine you have cancer, right? And a doctor says, I'll help you manage it. All right? Would you go to that doctor, or would you go to the one that says, no, I can help you cure it? You'd go for the cure, isn't it? So we found the cure, luckily for us, thanks to our merits, we found the cure. And better yet, I would like to phrase it this way, I would like to put it this way. This is a prevention method. This is a prevention technique, which is better than a cure, isn't it? Because the first thing is, when we are under stress, we need to accept that we are stressed. No point denying it. Because if you're in denial, then no matter how much dhamma then you can't apply the dhamma. It's a bit like, which is easier, to wake someone up who's asleep, or to wake someone up who's pretending to be asleep? Right? So, you can't wake someone up if they are pretending to be asleep. You can only wake someone up if they are actually asleep. So, best thing to do is to accept that we have this issue. I mean, we go through this. So, and every single issue we have, it comes based on a wrong idea. Wrong understanding. Because a wrong idea has been implanted in our minds, and because of this, we are looking at the world incorrectly. We're not looking at the world from the right point of view. So because of this, that's why all these, you know, stress, anger, depression, all of these things happen because of the wrong idea, which we refer to as ignorance. So really and truly, there's only one solution, so one problem, and one solution. So what we will do is, we will offer you the solution. And that's the thing. So imagine, I don't know why like names of diseases are coming to me, or like these like diseases related examples are coming out to me, because I see a few doctors in the crowd, so that's probably why, forgive me. So imagine you have a cancer in your kidney. And as a result, you're getting rashes everywhere, right? And let's say you don't know that you have a cancer in your kidney, right? Thank you. in your kidney. So you're getting rashes. So what you do is you don't know that you have that. So you think rashes is the problem. So you go out there and you get some ointment or some kind of cream. And you apply the cream and the rash goes away. But what happens? Because the original issue is still there, then more and more rashes will pop up. So now, no matter, like, you might try different ointments, but rashes will keep on coming. So the solution really is to cure the cancer in your kidney. So the solution we are going to offer might seem like this is not related to my problems at all, but actually it's a solution that we need. It might not be the solution that we want, but it's the solution we need. Okay? Right. So that is the problem. So the problem is it's the mental stress, pressure, and essentially since the crowd here are pretty knowledgeable about the Dhamma, it's we perceive, we feel an existence. We feel it's like we are trapped in time. And we feel like the reason why we get stressed is because imagine one of you has a job interview tomorrow or a big presentation or something like that. You feel, when you think about it, you feel stressed because you think, because I have to go and face it tomorrow. Like this sermon, when I was told I had to do this a few days back, obviously I'm not enlightened, so I felt a bit of a tad pressure because I have to go and do a sermon. So because of that, this sense of existence, this sense of self, that is why we feel, we go through all these negative emotions. So the solution to this is to understand cause and effect, the theory of everything. Okay, so this is what the Buddha has discovered. So what I will do is I'll try my level best to explain this to you. And so it's about 9 o'clock, so I'll take the next half an hour, 45 minutes or so to explain this to you. And you will have about half an hour or so to meditate. And during that time, you can use this entire hall. So we will open up these doors. So you can use the entire hall. But please don't go outside unless you need to use the loos. Then perfectly fine. But if you're when you're meditating, please stick inside here. Okay, so for this, what I will do is I will use an example. So the pen, right? I don't know, maybe some of you are probably sick and tired of seeing pens, but you know, this is the most sort of practical, easiest thing that we can kind of take apart and put back together. So I think yesterday during the main Sinhala sermon here, Nayaka Thero mentioned to all of you, to if you were present, to bring a pen also, something that you can take apart and put back together. So if you don't have pens, I think our Anagarika Mahathirs will kindly provide you with a pen. So does everyone have a pen or something like that? Something that you can take apart? Yeah? We all do? Let me start with a question. What's the best place to hide something? What's the best place to hide something? And don't say in the fourth dimension or something like that. I don't, not like that. So the best place to hide something is in plain sight, isn't it? Right? Because if it's in plain sight, no one would think to look. So the thing is, the truth is hidden in plain sight. It's like imagine you're in a prison and the key is right next to the lock. But because we are not looking at it the right way, we are not spotting the key. Okay? So let's see if you can understand the truth about the world, about everything, using this example. Okay? I don't know, can kind of see it, right? You can see it, right? I mean, the big TVs help. So, okay, so the pen. I remember when I came to the monastery as an Anagarika, so we have like a 1 year period where they're kind of training you up to be a monk. So during that period, I remember one of the Nayaka Theros, one of the first things that they gave us was the pen. So it brings back very fun memories. So this is one of the first things that we used as an exercise to understand cause and effect. Okay, so now, since our inception, since the day we were born, right? Even before that, but let's not talk about that. But since the day we were born, we're used to perceiving the world a certain way. When you were born, did you know what this was called? We had no idea what this was called, right? So we would go up to our mom, our amma, and what would we ask her? What is this, right? Okay. This implies, so this is how you would phrase the question typically, right? And how would your mom reply? Pardon? It's a pen. Yeah? Oh, this is a pen. Okay. Oh, it's a pen. It's a pen, dear. That's what she would say, right? Now, so though we didn't know what this was called, look at the way this conversation went. This very brief conversation went. The kid asks the mom, what is this? What does this imply? That it's something, isn't it? Like it's something, it's an entity, like one thing, right? The child didn't feel this as a collection. The child felt it as one. Okay? And that's how the child felt. So the idea that kids have a pure mind, in the sense that some have the belief, idea that kids are enlightened, well, it's rubbish, right? Okay? So, because though they don't know what things are called, but they feel things, feel ones. Okay? I know this might sound gibberish to some of you if you're new to this, but don't worry, we will go through it and explain it. And then how does the mom reply? It's a pen. So, this part of the answer I agree with. This is true. It's correct. But the issue with this answer is this part. A pen. What does a imply? Or a pen? It's an entity, right? It's one thing. So she confirms the wrong understanding the child has and says, it's a pen, yes. It's one thing. Okay? Now, because of such answers, the wrong idea becomes solidifies and then it consolidates, and that has become the norm to us. So now, let's see if this answer is true. Again, I mean, nothing wrong with your mother. That's what she knew. So I'm not blaming anyone. Okay, so please don't take it like that. Right? So, okay, so we see the pen and we immediately feel, when we see it, because of how we were kind of conditioned, we feel it as one thing, don't we? Unless you're enlightened, you would feel it as one thing. Okay? Now, so again, I'm not referring to the label here. You can call this a pen, you can call this the moon, it doesn't really matter what we call it, right? That's convention. So label, let's park that to a side. I'm talking about that one feeling, like oneness kind of feeling, right? One entity. We feel like the pen, it's its own thing. So that's the idea that we need to challenge. So Let's see if it's really one thing. Let's see if our understanding is true. Okay? So, if it's one, would we be able to take it apart? If something is, it's its own thing, if it's one thing, would we be able to take it apart? No, right? If this is its own thing, if this is something, if this is one thing, then would I be able to do this? No. When they first told me that I had to do this sermon, obviously, I mean, few good things will come out of this. One is it helps to improve my understanding and it will help you to further your understanding. And the third thing is I had to learn what all the parts of a pen are called. Otherwise, you know, I would struggle here. So I had to do some research and find out what all these parts are called. So if this is one thing, we wouldn't be able to take it apart. So the fact that we can take it apart, like straight off the bat, proves the idea to be false, isn't it? If it's one thing, then now it can't become two things, isn't it? Because one thing means this is a fixed thing. But the fact that we can do this means, the fact that we can break it means it's not one thing, isn't it? Okay? So, but we'll prove this to ourselves more. Okay, so now, actually, we can take it apart a bit more, isn't it? So we can go to this extent. I mean, we can even melt this, and then, you know, I mean, let's not go that far, but all we have to do is to understand the principle. So we could take it apart as, you know, as much as this. So, right? So this means, like, if there was a pen here, if there was one thing here, can one become four? If it was a fixed one thing, can one become four? It can't, isn't it? So the fact that we can... So, did we turn one into four? No. Because it was always four, wasn't it? Okay, so the parts of a pen are... So, in case you don't know the parts, you know, that's something we can all learn together. Right? So, this is called the clip. I think we all know what this is called, right? Clip. So this is according to some of the sources. So I don't know if this is the official one, but it's true. When I check some of the sources, they look legit. So, you know, I'm taking this as what they're actually called. So this is called a clip. This is called the cap. Okay. I don't know why they call it the cap, but this is called the cap. And this is called the barrel. And this is called the ink chamber. Don't ask me, I don't know. Strange naming conventions, I don't know, right? Ink chamber. That's what this part is called. So now, when these are like this, right? I wish I had an extra arm or two, but this is all I have, so let's try to make the most of this. So when it's like this, when it's in this arrangement, do we feel that one feeling? Do we get the pen feeling? No, right? We don't get the feeling or pen feeling. Okay? So, but now, look what happens. Well, when I do this, and now what's happened? This guy returns. Right? Pen feeling returns. But it's still four, isn't it? Right? We feel like four became one. But did four become one, or is four still four? Still four, isn't it? Because, you know, one, two, three, four. So, the reason why we haven't attained Nibbana yet, the only reason is because of this, right? 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 is what? That's how we feel, isn't it? See, that's why we haven't attained enlightenment, because we can't do basic arithmetics, right? We can't do basic maths, right? We suck at maths, that's why we haven't attained Nibbana yet, right? So, 4, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, it's not 1, it's 4. The thing is, though, it looks like 1. That's true, right? It looks like one thing, but looks can be deceiving, isn't it? Right? You probably know from personal experiences as well, right? Looks can be deceiving. So, it's especially true when it comes to to anything, really. Like, when I change the arrangement, it looks like one thing, but it looks like one. But actually, it's still four. The only difference here is the change in arrangement. So, because when it's like this, it's four. Four things. It didn't become one. But when I put them, when I change the arrangement to be in this arrangement, it's still four. They just change the way they are. That's it. It's a change of arrangement. That's all it is. So, because not the pen, it's not like these four parts became something. Because we feel like the pen is like the fifth thing, isn't it? It's like one, two, three, four. Four things came together and gave rise or gave birth to a fifth thing. But if that was the case, so let's suppose these four parts came together and created a pen or the fifth thing, then if I were to remove the causes, if I were to remove the parts, then a pen should be left behind, isn't it? If these four parts came together, if they came together and created something else, a pen, if they created something else, then when we take them apart, if I were to remove these, so let's say I did this, right? Now, so I hit them. Now, where's the pen? Right? If they came together and made something, if they made something up, if they created something, then even if I would remove the causes, the pen should be left behind. Because if that is the truth, then whichever company made this pen, all they have to do is just bring together some materials, enough to make one pen, and that's all they have to do. Use those materials, make one pen, remove the materials, okay, that pen will be left behind, and use the same materials, make another pen, remove the materials. Do you know what I mean? Then it will be a very profitable business, right? But that's not how the world works, isn't it? So, in other words, these four causes are the pen. So, the cap, what are the other parts? The cap, the clip, the ink chamber, the barrel are the pen. It's not, we feel like, because we say, the pen's clip, isn't it? The pen's clip, the pen's barrel. But is it the pen's clip, or from the clip comes the pen? Do you know what I mean? It's not the pen's clip. It's not the house's door. Door, window, walls, roof is the house. So clip, barrel, all of these things is the pen. So the world, everybody else thinks this way. I don't know if you heard about the story of when, just before Acidic Gautama became the Buddha, before he attained enlightenment, who offered him the last meal? Sujata. What did she offer? Milk, rice and honey. Okay? I don't know why that's not a thing anymore, but sounds like a good combination, right? Now we get like lunamiris, right? Which is very spicy and you know what I mean? Yeah, still a good combination, I suppose, but you know, that combination sounds good as well. So anyway, right? That's besides the point. So when he had that meal, the story goes, he placed that the alms bowl in which he had the alms, and he placed it on the river Niranjana, is it? Niranjana. I should know these things because I'm a monk. I shouldn't be asking you this. Right? So he placed it on the river, and the story says he made a determination that if I were to attain enlightenment tonight, or if I were to attain enlightenment, this bowl would go upstream. Right? Typically, it goes downstream, but he made a determination that if I were to attain enlightenment, this should go upstream. So, obviously, this is impossible, right, for this to go upstream. But funny enough, I did some research about this, and apparently a mathematician, he wrote a paper, and he said there is a very minute possibility that this could happen. Plus, also, if there was a huge gust of wind, it could take it up. But anyway, that's besides the point. So the point he realized there was that he tried to understand the truth by trying what the world tries. Like he tried like extremes, extreme suffering, extreme like comfort. He tried all of this, right? Oh, the deeper story here, as far as I understand, is that the world perceives the world in this way. Pens clip. They believe object exists and everything else. So it's the pens clip. It's over there now, but the pens clip, pens cap, pens barrel, pens ink chamber. But that didn't work out for him so well. So what he realized was that, no, I have to think the other way. From the clip comes the pen. Cause and effect, not cause and result or product. Or, in other words, it's not object something. From the causes comes the... Not the object comes, but there's no object really. So clip and all those bits is the pen. So basically, that's what he realized. He realized he has to think the opposite. Go against the way the world thinks. So anyway, so now... So, when these parts come together, excuse me for a second. Sorry. When these parts come together, what we call a pen is an effect. Pen is an effect, or it's a collection. Because what's really here is, it's still four. So four didn't become one. Four didn't become one. Four are still four. And so that makes sense to all of us, right? So there's no singular entity here, or there's no singularity here. What's here are some parts, collection. Now, so the pen is a manifestation. Okay? It's an effect. Now, did the penness, did the effect, the penness, did it come from the clip alone? Because if this is the pen, then you would need to pay for the entire thing, right? You just go to the shop and take this part and say, I'm just going to buy this. So if this was, I don't know how much a pen is, but let's say, 100 rupees? No? How much? 25. Okay, let's say 25, since we have four parts, so 5 rupees each per part, right? So you would just take this and say, if this is the pen, okay, I'll just pay for this. Thank you very much. Here's 5 rupees. No, right? So penness or pen or the effect is basically it's a characteristic, or it displays a characteristic that doesn't come from either one of the parts, either one of the courses. The penness doesn't come from the clip or the cap or the barrel or the ink chamber. But rather, it's like when these courses come together, the effect is something completely different. Okay? The effect is something that is completely different. So, would the pen know about the... would the effect know about the causes? Because think about it. Does the pen know about the clip? Does it know about the cap? Does it know about the barrel? Does it know about the ink chamber? Or let's try a different example. So we have a whiteboard. So imagine we have 2 spotlights here. Okay? One is blue, one is red. And we shine these onto the same spot so that they overlap each other. They're on top of each other. Okay? So when we mix blue and red, what do we get? What do we get? Purple. If we mix it correctly, it should be purple. I've tried doing this a few times when I do some sessions with kids, and we get black, we get, you know, like, but if you were to do it properly, you should get purple. So now it looks like purple, but is purple actually there? No. What's really there is the board, red light, and the blue light, isn't it? Purple isn't really there, because if you were to touch it, you're touching either the board or you're touching one of the courses, isn't it? So can you touch the pen? If a pen were to exist here, if a pen does exist, we should be able to at least touch it, isn't it? Right? Okay. Let's say, I don't know, you have bucket hands and you can grab a hold of this entire thing, right? Are you touching the pen or are you touching all the courses? Courses. You can't touch a pen because a pen doesn't exist. The pen is an illusion, isn't it? So that's what I mean. Like, I think all of you are familiar with the concept of optical illusions. So the pen is an optical illusion, really. I'm not saying there's nothing here. I'm saying causes are there, but the effect, the pen is the effect. That effect, you could say it's in a mind. Effect is something that we perceive. It's just a perception. But in reality, there's no pen. It's just it looks like a pen, but it's not an actual pen. So pen is a name that we give to a collection because for the ease of communication, because you can't tell someone, can you please bring the cap, the ink chamber, the barrel, and do you know what I mean? It's too long, right? It's not practical. So we use a common term so we name collections. So the penness doesn't come from either one of the courses. So the pen or the effect is an illusion. It doesn't really exist, because can the pen or can purple in that example, if we were to say to purple, look mate, you're too bright, can you dim yourself? You're too big, can you shrink yourself? Can purple do any of that? Can purple change itself? No, because why? Because purple is an effect. Purple doesn't really exist. So if purple were to, let's say, start believing that it's real, what should we do to this? Send it to Angode, isn't it? Right? Send it to a mental asylum. Because it's gone cuckoo, right? Because purple, it doesn't really exist. Oh, pen isn't really there. It's just an effect. It's just an illusion. What's really there are the causes, isn't it? So what's happened to us is that just like purple began to think that it's real, it exists, a mind, because it's injected with the wrong idea, has begun to believe that it's real, that it exists. The sense of self that we feel, it's like purple thinking it's real. So what we need to prove to ourselves is that, so use a simple example. So that's why we suggested the pen. Something that you use on a regular basis, something that's always in your possession. Use an example like that and try to understand this concept and master that example. When you master one example, and with that knowledge, you can, with those lenses, you can look at everything that's going on. Then you can do anything, like, I don't know, driving, writing an email, whatever it is that you have to do. Then you can do the task, but with the right understanding. So purple or the pen or an effect. Effect has no idea about the causes, because effect displays a completely different characteristic. So our perceived reality is the pen, but the reality is the collection. So in other words, there's no pen in a pen, if that makes any sense. There's no pen inside a pen. What's really here are the aforementioned causes or the parts. Isn't it? So, and the other thing is, we look at the world because of that wrong idea, because of ignorance, because we've been told that there are fixed things out there, there's a fixedness, or things come together and they become one, four transforms into one. Because of that idea, we look at the world and we, like, in pretty much every language, there's something called nouns, isn't it? There are nouns. But for the effect of a pen, for a penness to exist, for it to happen, these causes have to be there, isn't it? They have to react, isn't it? Like, does the pen come before the causes come together? Does the pen come after the causes come together? The pen comes when the causes are, when they stay together, when they react. It's a reaction. Hence the term, that's why we sometimes use the term process. Reaction has to happen. As long as the reaction is happening, then, okay, perception of a pen. So it's a reaction. So it's not pen. And like Nagarjuna says, it's penning, right? Penning, you have to add ing. So look at the world, don't look at the world as nouns. Nouns don't exist. That's wrong. Verbs, right? Verbs is what exists. So penning, because from the causes, because the causes has to keep on reacting. They have to constantly keep on matching. And in that example, the spotlights has to keep on shining. Electricity has to keep on flowing, and then the lights has to be constantly turned on. The board has to be here. If either one of the causes are missing from the equation, then it's a different effect. We can't say the pen, or we can't say if I were to remove this, or if someone were to, let's say, I don't know, stole it or something, or break it, then we can't say, the pen became a clipless pen. No. This is the way the causes are arranging now. This is the current reaction. Because there never really was a pen in the first place. That's why the idea of change, permanence, impermanence, we can't really use these terms, because there has to be something to change. Isn't it? Again, I know in books they mention the word permanence, impermanence. I'm not saying anything against them. They probably meant it this way. But sometimes it's difficult to find words to describe these phenomena, because language itself is a product of ignorance, right? Because the mind is under pressure, right? Because imagine, like, when you're with a bunch of mates and you're not getting involved, or you're not involved in the conversation for, I don't know, 5 minutes, then what do you feel like doing? You want to feel like saying something, right? They could be saying, like, you might say something completely random, but you just want to say something. So language probably came about because a mind or minds were under pressure and they really wanted to express themselves, talk. Because of that, language came about. Because everything that's in existence is a product of ignorance, isn't it? So anyway, so using language to explain this, it can be very difficult. So that's probably why they use those terms. So they probably meant something else, right? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, this is a reaction. What you see, this is penning. It's becoming. It's being. It's not. It's being, not done. That's why the word building, I think that's one of the words that they named correctly, right? Because it's not a build done, it's building, because you constantly have to do maintenance and stuff like that, right? They meant it probably in that sense, but in reality we know that there's no such thing as a build done. It's building, it's being, right? If either one of the causes were to change, if we were to remove all these columns, or if one of these were to collapse, that could mess with the whole structural integrity. Right? That could mean this roof falls down. So now it would be a different effect. So it's building. That's why in our body, right? So we have some doctors here. They would probably agree with me. Cells die and new ones replace them, isn't it? And if I'm correct, like, all the cells in our body are replaced once every 21 days. And all the organs are regenerated. And I think the kidneys are the last ones to come. Like, it takes about 8 years. So that's why we are called human beings, isn't it? Constantly being. Not human done. Right? Isn't it? See? This is why I mean, the truth is hidden in plain sight. We just have to see it, right? So, human beings. Apologies for my handwriting. So, we are called human beings. Not human duns. Right? Maybe dumbs, but not duns. Right? I'm joking. Right? We are called human beings. Because we are constantly being, aren't we? It's not a finished product. Because if you're a finished product, right? If you're a human done, then imagine when we're at the peak of our physical health and well-being and everything, we say, okay, I want to be, this is the state I want to keep. But we can't do that, can we? Right? It's constantly being. That's why it's always work in progress. It's not done. So this is penning. It's happening. It's not done. So that is another characteristic of a manifestation. So what we have to do is to prove to the mind, or we have to learn the characteristics of an effect. Because all that exists are effects, aren't they? Because you can take any example. So we just took two examples, because I don't want to bring up too many examples and confuse you. So the pen, and we took purple. These are being, not done. Because if we were to stop, then, like, if they were to stop reacting, then that means we are removing one of the causes, or all the causes, then a product will be no more. Or the effect will be a different effect. Okay? And the other thing is, does this clip know it came together to form something? Does it have any idea it's a part of something? It's come together with other parts to accomplish something. Does this guy know that? What about him? I mean, you can't add a gender to it, but I'm just saying. So, what about this part? What about the cap? Does the cap know that it's part of a pen? No. So, none of them has any idea. They don't have any idea. They don't have any plan. They don't have any agenda to come together and make anything. Isn't it? So, but we feel like we've come together, or we feel like we have to do X, Y, Z, isn't it? But in reality, like, but the causes have no agenda, isn't it? They're just there, isn't it? So, they didn't mean to create anything, and they didn't create anything, but because of the wrong idea, we feel like they've come together to make something, and it exists, isn't it? So, see the illusion, see the deception, right? Now, people talk about detachment, isn't it? People say, you know, if I were to lose my pen, my dear pen, right? If I were to lose this, I would lose sleep, and you know, it would be the end of my life. Like a lot of people, you know, some people, they actually love pens, like they collect pens and stuff like that. So for them, if they were to lose one of these pens, right, they would be devastated, right? Heartbroken. They would be able to deal with their girlfriend leaving them but not losing a pen. Right? Some people are like that. I'm not blaming them. Right? So, now, if you were to lose the pen, right, if something were to happen to this, you would feel upset. Right? Now, think about it. Why do we feel upset? What did we lose? The pen. The pre-existing pen. The pen that was there last night, but when I woke up this morning, it's missing. It's probably because one of your siblings or someone took it or stole it. But anyway, right? Or your car, you parked it on the street last night and you woke up, it's missing. And you're upset. You're upset why? Because you lost what? The car. Was there a car in the first place to lose? No. Is there a pen, or was there a pen for you to lose? No. Pen is the illusion. Pen was just in your mind. It didn't exist in the real world. Because the real world was just the causes. Isn't it? So, when you understand that, if you were to lose something, would you get upset? No. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you'd call the police and the insurance and you will do all that stuff, right? You will do all the, like conventionally, the stuff that you have to do, you will do. But I'm talking about, so people ask me this question, like, how does understand this philosophy bring my car back? Right? So this is a question that people have. Like, when we were in Australia, one of the ladies asked me this question, the cat next door comes and poos in her garden. So how can we apply the Dhamma to prevent the cat from coming into to my garden? Well, you have to, I don't know, somehow make the cat understand the Dhamma, then it wouldn't do it. But obviously, so there's a misconception that the Dhamma or this philosophy will give the answer to those worldly questions. No, this is only to help you deal with stress, or to mitigate, or to prevent stress. So if you lost the car, then there are procedures out there. Obviously do those. But you shouldn't feel stressed about it, because you didn't lose a car in the first place. So now, let's say when you form an attachment to something, right? So a car, let's say, right? I'm not going to take any people, because it's still early in the morning. I don't want to kind of, like, you know, bring us on a downer in the very first session, right? So let's say someone lost their car, okay, or someone got attached to a car, and when you get attached to something, either, I mean, that relationship between you and the car, it could only end two ways, right? Either the car goes before you or you go before the car, right? So let's say the car broke down and it becomes redundant and unusable, right? And this person's under stress, right? If you were to understand that car was an effect, in other words, what was really there were the parts. There was no such thing as a car. Then, is there anything for him to let go of? Has he lost anything? No. So, the society has a wrong idea of attachment. We are talking about attachment to objects, attachment to a car. But what the Buddha came was that, so this is the way the world thinks. But the Buddha said that there was no car there in the first place for you to get attached to. I'll repeat it. There was no car there in the first place to get attached to, because there is no pen here in the first place. It's some causes. Pen is a name that we've given to that collection. But a pen, as its own thing, doesn't exist. So, what the Buddha said is to realize that there aren't these objects that we perceive as not true. These entities don't exist. So, there's what we need to realize is that you didn't lose a car. You didn't lose a pen. So, you don't have to let go of anything. You have to realize that you weren't holding on to anything in the first place. That attachment and detachment isn't possible. That's what we had to realize. Because the mind can't get attached to anything. Think about it. So we're kind of running out of time, so I need to give you some time to meditate, otherwise we'll complain. Oh, we came to for the World Meditation Day, we didn't get a single second to meditate. What is this, you know? Right? This is some sort of, you know, we've been scammed. So you know, so don't worry, I'll give you some time to contemplate. So you will have a pen or something that you can take apart. So for the next sort of 20 minutes, half an hour or so, until I'll let you know, I will give you some to go over these concepts, this concept that we talked about. So really prove to the mind, prove to yourselves that this pen you see, it's a manifestation. It's an effect. There's no fixed pen here. The pen as its own thing doesn't exist. It's just some parts. It's not pen, it's penning. Being. Right? It's being, not done. Yeah? Because the perceived reality is, it's done. But the reality is being. Okay? Right? Hopefully that's... Is it clear? Clear as mud? Clear? Okay. Right. So, what we will do is, we will chant the Namaskara 3 times, and then you can do some contemplation. So, you can either stay seated and contemplate, or you can walk about. We will open these doors, so you can use the entire Dhamma hall. And like I said before, please don't go out either that way or this way. Please stay inside. But if you do want to use the toilets, please, by all means, you don't have to, you know, hold it and... Yeah. So, is that clear to everybody? Okay. All right. So, let's chant the Namaskar 3 times and we will begin our meditation session.